One of the things that makes the Shoah unfathomably painful is that the deaths include the deaths of 1 million children. And for all that was lost that we can begin to grasp, when we're talking about the life of a child, we realize that there are potentialities, possibilities, that the world will never know, that we cannot fathom. But mourning alone, of course, is insufficient. And one of the many, many innumerable questions that arises from the realization of our loss is, what does that mean in terms of our own lives and the lives of our children? Because very often, you know how you should treat something by imagining what you would wish for were it gone. How often do people say, now that so-and-so is gone, I wish I had done this, or said this, or acted in this way. And the ability to do that preemptively, to imagine loss and to draw lessons from it, or to learn lessons from the loss of others, is part of what makes us human at our best. So what is the most valuable thing that you can give a child? And how should you give it? It seems to me clear. Those of you who heard Daniel Mendelsohn last night, those of you who will hear him tonight, realize that the lesson you draw from loss is the most valuable thing that you can give to your child is time. Time. There is no gift like time. No gift of money, no gift of education, no gift of institution, no gift of caretakers, nothing substitutes for time. The pernicious, destructive idea of quality time is that you can give less time as long as it's good time. But let me tell you the Hasidic story of a disciple who traveled to a far distant Hasidic capital, and when they asked him, why did you come? Did you come to study with the Rebbe? He said, no, I didn't come to study with the Rebbe. I came to see him tie his shoes. Because you see, the time you spend with a parent in unintended ways can be the most valuable. How many of us have as our most poignant memory not the designated time, but watching our father as he's shaving, or our mother as she's kneading bread, or tying an apron around her waist, or letting us play idly with the jewelry on her hand. In other words, the little moments that exist only because we give our children time. And you know that that's what we would wish for if, God forbid, they were not there. More time. But I also have a suggestion of how we should be during that time. Because the paradoxical lesson that we learn from the Shoah is the lesson of joy. That we must live life in gratitude and in joy because we are still alive. And the pain of memory cannot succeed in draining those of us who are here of what we care for. Let me quote to you from Charlotte Belbo, a survivor who wrote a book called Auschwitz and After, which is half memoir and half poem. And the end of one of her poems reads as follows: I beg you, do something. Learn a dance step. Something to justify your existence. Learn to walk and laugh, because it would be too senseless, after all, for so many to have died while you live doing nothing with your life. So it isn't that we must only give time, but we have to give time as a model that this world and this life is beautiful and valuable, and we are grateful for it. And we want our children to be grateful too. And so we will keep them close to us so they can see us tie our shoes. So they can see us as we go about the daily tasks that, after all, define a human being. And know who we are so they can decide who they are. I want to close with the voice of a child. Because this child, although his or her name is unknown to us, said it more beautifully and more eloquently than anyone else outside of that situation could. You know, Theresienstadt was a concentration camp in which thousands and thousands of children were interred. Most of them died. Few came back. But when the concentration camp was liberated, they tore up the floorboards of the children's barracks. And underneath, they found the poems and the pictures and the drawings of the children who were inmates in the concentration camp. And a few decades ago, a book was published called I Never Saw Another Butterfly, that contains the poems and the pictures of the children of Theresienstadt. And there was one child, a boy, a girl, we don't know, 11, 12, 13, we don't know. All we know is that this child lived, wrote, and died. But that this child's hand reaches across the decades to give us a message of hope. Because looking out at the barbarism and barbed wire of Theresienstadt, this child wrote a poem called The Bird Song that goes as follows. He doesn't know the world at all, who stays in his nest and doesn't go out. He doesn't know what birds know best, nor what I want to sing about, that the world is full of loveliness. When dewdrops sparkle in the grass and earth's a flood with morning light, a blackbird sings upon a bush to greet the dawning after night, and then I know how fine it is to live. Try to open your heart to beauty. Go to the woods someday and weave a wreath of memories there. And then if tears obscure your way, you'll know how wonderful it is to be alive. And then if tears obscure your way, you'll know how wonderful it is to be alive. May we learn that child's lesson and teach it to our children as well. Shabbat shalom.